Tuesday. Good morning. Today is Tuesday, April the 7th. Joining us this morning from her office. Is this the spatial second floor office of Jennifer Budwig? Or are you at home?
Oh no, I'm in my office.
All right. It's got to be a little bit weird looking out over the street and not seeing an awful lot of traffic, huh?
Yeah, it is very, very strange, especially coming and going and just, not a lot of activity out there, which is a good thing.
Yeah. So we're going to talk a little bit about some of the different financial aspects of what we're all dealing with. But before we do that, why do we say that? Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am ready. I'm as ready as I'm going to be, Brian.
Okay. Philosopher. How did the philosopher come to be called that?
Don't have any idea.
Ah, okay. Then we all will learn together. The Greek word for wise is sophos, and the sages of Greek were once called that. But Pythagoras, remember the Pythagoras theorem?
Mm-hmm.
That's about the only thing I remember from geometry, 3, 4, 5.
Oh.
But Pythagoras thought this word was too arrogant, so added the word philos, meaning loving. So philosophos, or philosopher, is therefore a lover of wisdom.
Oh, boy.
Huh?
That's very deep for an early Tuesday morning.
Yeah, but I love the concept. Lover of wisdom. Yeah, don't we all? So with the activities that are going on, and I know I'm going to have a tendency to kind of get it off into the weeds on this one, so you're going to have to kind of be the ship rudder. With the two different types of funding that are out there, Jennifer, for businesses, and then there's the funding for community members also. Has everything settled in yet? Do we know what the application of what Congress and the president were attempting to get at a couple weeks ago when they did pass this legislation?
So I think the overall answer is yes, from the standpoint of they are starting to get some of this money deployed. They are, one of the things that we have to keep remembering in all of this is, this is happening at lightning speed on every level. So, Congress passing what they did and then providing the SBA with very little guidance and an incredibly short time frame to work through their programs to get it put in place, create a policy, try to put procedures together. And so in consideration of all of that, it was pretty remarkable they were able to even get rolled out as quickly as they did what they did. And so, to elaborate on that a little bit, I'm not sure how many people are aware of, but I do want to differentiate. There's two different programs right now out there, and one is what they're referring to as the EIDL program, and that is, it's EIDL, and that program is actually a direct program through SBA, and it's that program you actually will go into the SBA website and apply through them directly. And it's called the Economic Injury Disaster Loan Program. And do you mind if I just take a minute to kind of summarize the parameters of that program, and then we can also talk about the Paycheck Protection Program, which is a very significant one that just got rolled out last Friday. Am I jumping too far ahead?
No. I think getting all this stuff out, because I'm sure we're going to be referencing it, whether it's for employees or employers throughout the entire program.
Okay. So the EIDL program, that went live, at least a month ago, if not more. And again, that's a direct loan through SBA. You can just go on to the SBA.gov website and apply there. The funds can be used for fixed debts such as rent, payroll, accounts payable, and some bills that could have been paid had this disaster not occurred. Now, with this program, it goes up to $2 million. But they do have like a little carve-out, so when you go in to apply, there is a box that you can actually check that says that you want to get $10,000 immediate funding. So if you check that box, what they will do is they'll accept your application. So just as an example, say your application's for $100,000. And if you check that box, then they're saying within 3 to 5 days, if they're going to, you know, do kind of a broad brush of your application and make sure that it looks eligible, and then they will actually fund you that $10,000 immediately. So you will get that within about 3 to 5 days. But the actual application for the full $100,000 is taking about 30-plus days to process. Now, the thing that's attractive about this program is that the loan terms, it's up to a 30-year loan. The rate on it is 3.75%. For small businesses and nonprofits, it's 2.75%, and that is a fixed rate. But it does have all of the standard SBA requirements. So as an example, they do require guarantors. If the business has, for any owner with 20% or more ownership, they do require collateral. So loans over $25,000, you do have to provide collateral. But having said that, they typically aren't going to decline a loan for lack of collateral. But if you have it, they're going to take it. There's also no costs or fees, and they're really encouraging people to apply for this because the other thing is that, you know, there's no application fee. So if you apply for it and then 2 or 3 weeks later you decide, you know what, I don't want that loan after all, you can withdraw your request. Or even if they come back and approve it, you don't have to take the money. Now, the other thing, too, on this is kind of interesting is on that $10,000 advance, we are hearing mixed signals from the standpoint of, I sit in on it's the Small Business Development Center. They will put on regular sessions like 3 times a week, and there's 2 people from SBA that are always part of those conversations. And one of the things they were talking about, I think this was on Wednesday of last week, so almost a week ago, what they were seeing was at that time, their understanding was if you got that $10,000 immediate funding, and then, because we're hearing mixed signals in terms of is that a grant or is that actually a loan? And a lot of people are saying, well, no, it's a grant. You don't have to pay it back. But what they were saying was if you applied, just again as an example, of $100,000 and you got that $10,000 right away, if they ended up declining your loan request at a later date, then the $10,000 becomes a grant and you don't have to pay it back.
And we'll continue with that thought when we come back.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Jennifer Budwig from Redwood Capital Bank. This morning we're talking about all these, stimulus at one level or another funding. Jennifer, before the break, we were talking about the distinction between the EIDL, which I find really weird that they couldn't come up with another acronym that didn't sound like they were just treading water. and the PPP, two things that businesses have as an opportunity to go out and to get some, I guess it would be called gap funding. I mean, for lack of a better term, that's kind of what it's providing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a fair statement.
All right, got one in. Terminology is going to be critical. You were talking about the difference in the distinctions between a grant and a loan.
Yeah, so getting back to where we left off, the first program I was kind of covering is called, and that's the EIDL program you were referencing, and again, that's the one that's direct from SBA. And we were talking about that $10,000 immediate funding advance, and again, going back to what we're hearing mixed signals on that in terms of, well, is that a grant or is it a loan? And so what I was saying before the break was that our understanding, based on what we recently heard, was that if you apply for the if you apply for like a $100,000 loan and you get the immediate funding of the $10,000, and then if you end up getting declined for the loan, they're saying that the $10,000 becomes a grant, you don't have to pay it back. But if you get approved for the loan, then you would then that $10,000 gets rolled into it. So in a $100,000 loan scenario, they give you another $90,000 because you'd already received the $10,000. So in a nutshell, that was, again, that could change tomorrow. That may not even be 100% accurate. That was just what I took from the meeting, because there's so much different information out there.
So with the funding components, whether you're filling out and applying for one of the SBA direct, or whether the one through your local SBA approved lender, the time elements on that, is anybody getting the money at this point for those businesses that are either trying to keep the doors open or trying to keep the staff level intact?
Yeah. So that is an awesome segue into the second program.
An awful one, huh? Okay, good. I like that.
It was perfect, Brian. It was perfect. So again, that $10,000 immediate funding is certainly helping people. So, you know, those folks that are going on and applying directly online through that SBA program, if they're getting that $10,000 within 3 to 5 days, as SBA says is happening, that certainly is, you know, a shot in the arm. But going back to the Friday program that was released, so when they approved the stimulus package of $350 billion, within that, Paycheck Protection Program was part of that. And they literally gave SBA 1 week to say, okay, we approve this, and in 1 week, this thing's going live, and you guys are going to have to start taking applications. And so, I mean, they literally, it was phenomenal. They actually got this thing in place. Now, having said that, as a lender, we didn't get guidance from SBA until like Thursday around 3 o'clock before the actual program went live. But the reason that transpired the way it did was that they realized that trying to deploy $350 billion to get that out as quickly as they can, they needed to utilize the banks and the financial institutions to be able to do it. And so that was the primary reason as to why they opted to go this direction. And the way it works in a nutshell is that the banks are the ones who grant the loans. So if you have an interest in this particular program, you definitely need to contact your financial institution. And the applications, that was one of the challenges, is there were some financial institutions that were trying to be a little more proactive, and they took the application that came out like on that Tuesday that had sample written across it, and we're using that along with what they thought the needed documentation would be to process the loan, and they were actually rolling it out pretty early. We took a little bit of a more conservative approach at Rebecca Capital Bank because our concern was that we didn't know if SBA was going to be changing anything based upon the speculation compared to what they actually rolled out. So we ended up rolling ours out like on Thursday afternoon before that Friday hit. And so, but the way that program works, and this is the one that a lot of people are very interested in, because that program has the debt forgiveness component to it. And so, and I'm not sure how far into the weeds on this one you want me to get, Brian, but it is the demand for this program has been overwhelming, and that is just a massive understatement. We literally have just been inundated nonstop with emails, phone calls, people wanting more information about it, people wanting to apply. We ended up having to, and we're hearing this, you know, pretty much within the industry, is that, you know, we've been putting in just a tremendous amount of overtime trying to fully understand the parameters of the program as well as fielding the questions our customers have. And then once we were able to roll out the application and the documentation needed to accept applications has just been a wild ride. So what we did at Rubic Capital Bank was we had, I think there were 16 of us that actually came in on Saturday and spent the entire day here getting those applications. And we're doing it a little bit backwards than we typically would, because
let's talk about the backwardsness when we come back. It's 8:30.
Hi, this is Brian Papstein. This afternoon, Humboldt County Health Officer Teresa Fankovic is having a press conference and will be announcing the formalization of our current practices, formerly referenced as shelter in place. What does this mean? How does it impact you? Find out as we will be talking with Humboldt County Sheriff Billy Hansel this afternoon. Stay tuned here in the 4 o'clock hour. You'll be able to hear that interview in its entirety, and we'll have it on our website later this afternoon.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Jennifer Budwig from Redwood Capital Bank. I guess Fortuna and Eureka, huh? They don't let you into the...
And Arcata.
Do they let you into Arcata?
Oh, well, not so much. I thought you were just talking about where our branches are located.
No.
This
was a you thing specifically.
Oh, gotcha.
Before the break, Jennifer, we were talking a little bit about some of the extraordinary efforts you guys and other SBA, approved financial institutions were doing over the weekend, just trying to kind of get out in front of the tidal wave, or maybe not get swallowed up by the tidal wave. That's one component, but that stuff still has to get put into the system. How is the system processing all of this pent-up demand and associated panic with it?
Yeah, well, fortunately, it seems to be going pretty well. We didn't have any problems at all on Saturday in regards to inputting loans directly into SBA and getting the approvals on them. We got like 167 processed for about $21 million in loans on Saturday. And then Monday, I was a little concerned about Monday because I knew that once, you know, businesses opened and banks were open, that they would get flooded. And they did. So Monday morning, their portal was completely down, but it came back up about noon. And so we got another, 40 processed yesterday. So we're up to about $31 million right now in actual approved loans through SBA. So it sounds like they got the bugs worked out, and they are doing a lot better with that. So it's pretty phenomenal in regards to the amount that they've been able to receive and get processed. So it's been good.
I would suspect, as being friendly neighborhood banker, that you're getting a lot of individuals also asking, what can we anticipate these monies that are coming in? When? Do you have any insight or information for those folks also?
Well, you mean in terms of like the checks that are coming out for individuals?
Yes.
Is that what you're referencing? So from what I understand, those are already, I know we're getting some on the teller line and cashing them, so those are already coming out. I don't know the time frames on those in terms of how those are being disseminated, but they are coming out, so that is good. And then in regards to, I guess one of the questions that I have, and I'm a little uncertain on, is the timing of the unemployment, because as you're probably aware, the unemployment that was passed as part of the stimulus package is even above and beyond, well above what they typically pay for unemployment. So folks that actually are filing, you know, there's that added $600 a week for 4 months. But in terms of when that money is actually hitting, I don't know the answer to that. Hopefully sooner than later, because obviously that's a significant amount of money that's going to be coming back to folks directly that will allow them to pay rent, buy food, pay their bills. And so that's a pretty substantial part in all of this. So hopefully they're getting the unemployment out quickly.
One of the things that I've seen referenced is a lot of us were focusing on the SBA stuff, and whether it's from or the federal, the unemployment compensation, doesn't mean that the other things that the banks and institutions do have stopped. Yeah, with the fact that real estate loans and the rates are as low as they are, it's not as if all of a sudden that department is shut down and everything's been shifted over to this. If somebody has an outstanding loan or a loan application for real estate or some of the other opportunities that they would be asking for funding for or assistance, how is that working out?
Yeah, it's a really good question, because our residential real estate gals are just hopping and popping. I mean, they've got three times the normal loan volume that they typically do, and a huge amount of those are refinances because rates are so low. So they're continuing to get those processed, along with, you know, a lot of questions about deferments and so forth. But one of the areas we're running into is a little bit of a problem is the appraisals. And because appraisers are a little bit concerned right now about going into homes and, you know, possibly being exposed. And so there's some stuff going on in that world in regards to the appraisal turn time is much slower than it typically would be, just because some just aren't doing them right now. They're maybe fall in the high-risk category, and so they're opting not to do them while this is going on. So our pool of appraisals has shrunk, and in turn, the turn times have gotten quite a bit slower. So,
can they do drive-bys? Is there any flexibility for the realization and recognition of what's going on? Can they maybe not go inside the house or rely on pictures that are taken?
Yeah, from what I understand, that is being proposed right now, is that because those loans are Fannie Mae sold in the secondary market, and so they're the driver of that bus, and they're the ones who make that determination. I have heard that that is being proposed, but I don't know the status of it. But like our equity lines of credit, loans like that, those are, we've always done just drive-bys on those. And so, you know, those are still moving forward just fine, because the appraisers are fine with doing the drive-bys.
Because this is such a tidal wave and is going to be for a relatively short, I guess, in geologic time period, are you guys able to buy up additional staffing, or is this just more work and the folks you have, it's kind of like tax time?
Yeah, actually what we've been doing is reallocating our folks, because like in Fortuna as an example, we actually closed the lobby of that branch and have it open just for drive-through traffic, except if people want to open new accounts, they can come in and, you know, access safe deposit boxes by appointment. We actually closed our Henderson Center branch as well because we have Eureka Main open. And so we're taking those folks and then utilizing them in those areas that we're needing the extra staff at this time. So it actually has been working out really, really well.
KINS News and Information Time, it's 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:46. We're back talking shop this morning with Jennifer Budwig. Jennifer, what about some of those with existing loans, whether it's credit, you know, consumer credit, whether it might be an automobile loan or good old-fashioned residential loan? Is there anything in the works for those? Should we make those payments? Should we hold off? Because those tend to represent pretty good chunks of what our monthly debts are.
Yeah, it's a great question. And what I'd highly recommend is if you are struggling making those payments, you definitely want to contact your financial institution and ask them about, you know, if do they have any kind of a program specific for that. I know at Redwood Capital Bank, what we are doing for our business customers, folks that have term loans, if on the commercial side of the house, if they have been impacted by this, then basically they just have to shoot us an email, let us know, just a very brief description as to how this has impacted their business, and then we're granting them 90-day deferments. So they can basically, we're, you know, extending their loan for 90 days and giving them 90 days of skip payments. And so that's on the commercial side of the house. But on the residential side of the house, or I say residential real estate side of the house, because, you know, we have a ton of the mortgage loans, and, you know, mortgage payments are usually one of your highest. And so we're getting a lot of inquiries on those. And initially, we, kind of tying back to what I was saying earlier about we have to follow the Fannie Mae guidelines, because those residential loans are sold in the secondary market, and so they're the ones who make the determination on that. And they were originally coming out and saying that, you know, yeah, you can look at granting 90-day deferments, so 3 months. But now they've come out, and this is where it gets a little bit gray, because they're not being super clear in terms of our understanding of it, but it does sound like now they are planning on reporting those to credit reporting agencies if you get those deferments, which could negatively impact your credit. But we still aren't 100% clear on that. And so I think that unless you really, really, really have to get a deferment on the residential side of the house, you probably aren't going to want to, just because it does sound like if it does impact your credit the way that they've recently come out and said, then it could prevent you from being able to get a new loan down the road. You know, so if it dings your credit and it shows that you got the deferments, then if you want to go and buy a new house in a year or do a refinance in a year and it pops up on your credit, then that may prohibit you from being able to do it. So
we've got about 1 minute to go here. What's the one big question that's out there that we should all be paying attention to hear the answer for?
The one big question that's really difficult to narrow down. I think, you know, being patient. The $350 billion they're trying to get deployed, they've been doing a pretty phenomenal job. You know, you've got different, like Wells Fargo, they met their cap already. They're not loaning anymore. I heard B of A, they met their cap. They're not loaning anymore. But the Treasury may do a buyback program, which will allow them to open up the coffers again. Just trying to be patient through this process. People need to be fluid. We're building the aircraft as we're flying it, and you know, it's one of those things that you know, we're everyone's doing the best they can in a really difficult time, and so I think, you know, patience is really important, and just trying to understand, a lot of people are under a lot of pressure right now and doing everything they can.
All right, Jennifer, you know, one thing about that, building it as you fly it, you've got to be sure that landing gear is included somewhere. Thanks for helping us out this morning. I appreciate the time.
Yeah.
All right, see everybody tomorrow.